It seems to me that this war in Korea is something of a testing ground, not only for weapons, but for ideas. The communists have captured and channeled the surging desire for change, the resentment against foreign domination. They talk the language of Asia's aspirations. Their technique is always simple. Radio hammers away on one refrain. It has nothing to do with justice and United Nations or who started the war in Korea. What they say in essence is this. They say, do you think it possible that the peaceful Korean peasant working in his rice field, who is shot down by American artillery or aircraft, do you really think he is the aggressor in this war? Or the humble worker in the factory whose life is cut short by American bombs, is he the aggressor? The women and children who live in shacks beside the railroad tracks, when death comes to them from the sky, are they the aggressors? Did they threaten the mighty United States? Did those peasants and workers threaten those Americans? That's the way it goes. The North Korean radio reports in considerable detail the factories that have been destroyed by American bombers. This is highly important military information. It tells us how successful our airstrikes have been. In the last war, both sides did their best to conceal this sort of intelligence. The North Koreans broadcast it to their own people and to us. Why did they do it? Those who have spent many years in Asia have a simple and convincing explanation. They say that the people of Asia regard a factory, any kind of factory, as something which lightens their load just a little. Maybe it's soap or woven cloth or fertilizer. It has taken decades to build that factory. They feel a sort of part ownership in it, even though they may never have seen it or its product. In Asia, there is no greater crime than to destroy a man's rice bowl. And the factory is regarded as a kind of community rice bowl. We are aware that we have no designs upon territory in Asia, that most of the free nations of the world have at least given morals, but there are millions in Asia who know nothing of these matters. With all our massive strength, speed of communication, productive capacity, high standard of living, we are not all powerful. We checked the spread of communism in Western Europe because the people who live there decided that with our economic help, they wanted to stop it. We spoke their language, at least enough of it. And there was a common objective, the salvation of personal and national freedom. The problem of communicating ideas is vastly more difficult in Asia. The economic problems are appalling. But in the end of the day, it's the people who will decide. It seems to me that few things are more important than that we learn to speak their language, that we use every device and maybe invention about the world in which they live, and whose future they will so powerfully influence. This would be a slow, costly, and delicate business. We must accept the proposition that the people of Asia will decide their own future, that we will not attempt to dictate it, and that we will use armed strength as we are in Korea to prevent Russia from dominating them. If we accept that proposition, then it seems to me an urgent obligation rests upon us to provide them with the information and the example upon which decisions can be based.